Hi, this is Chris Mayo with Microsoft Corporation. I'm a senior technical evangelist with the Office 365 evangelism team. And in this video, we're going to be looking at developing for SharePoint Online with Sandbox Solutions. And in particular, we'll look at an overview of Sandbox Solutions. What are they? Why are they important to SharePoint Online development? We'll go through the development process and look at some of the key aspects of developing with Sandbox Solutions. We'll then look at deployment, so how do you get the solution up into SharePoint Online, running in the cloud, and how does it execute once it's running in the cloud? We'll then talk about administration and how, over time, these solutions are self-administered by the sandbox. From there, we'll wrap up with a summary and some resources. Okay, so let's talk about SharePoint 3.0 and some of the challenges we saw in the 2007 timeframe, particularly around developing solutions. So we as developers would build custom solutions. We'd design, build, and test those customizations. And when it got to the point where we were ready to deploy those solutions, we had to get the SharePoint administrator involved. And we as developers are, you know, in charge of, you know, creating solutions quickly to meet the demands of the business. And administrators are really, you know, gold with having a very secure and very reliable and very high uptime environment for running SharePoint. So there was a little bit of a friction there when we would go to, you know, the administrators and say, hey, we have to deploy these bits. We need to change web.config. We want to put these files on your front end servers and so on. And it really, you know, was kind of a situation where, you know, administrators didn't want to make those changes. They were more concerned with the uptime and the reliability of the environment than they were with getting the solutions out. So there was a little bit of friction there, and it made it difficult, you know, for us as developers to get these solutions out to the business and provide value with these solutions. It also caused some headaches, you know, of course, for the administrators because they had to, you know, constantly fiddle with or open up their environment in order to get these solutions deployed. And then, you know, once the solutions were deployed, they actually got to the point where the site collection owner actually started to get, you know, some value from these solutions by, you know, activating the features and using the customizations. So one of the things that we saw, you know, in the SharePoint 3.0 wave was a lot of support cases coming from custom code because, you know, something broke down along the lines of these processes, or maybe someone, you know, wrote some code that didn't quite function the way they had thought it would, you know, when they did their individual testing and so on. So it was a big headache, not only for the developer, it was also a big headache for the administrator, and it was a big headache for the business who actually, you know, consumed these features or these solutions. Also, like I had said, caused a lot of support issues for Microsoft ourselves. So what we wanted to do in the SharePoint 2010 phase was make this particular process much more streamlined and much more friction-free. And since SharePoint Online is based on SharePoint 2010, the benefits that I'm going to talk about over the next couple of slides are going to apply to SharePoint Online as well. So in SharePoint Online, again, we wanted developers building custom solutions where they would design, build, and test these customizations. But we wanted to make it possible for the site collection owner to deploy and activate these customizations without having to involve the SharePoint administrator. So no need to change web.config, no need to push files out to the file server, and so on. But when it came to administration, of course, you know, IT, admin, the owners of the SharePoint farm, we wanted them to be comfortable with site collection owners taking these solutions, deploying them, you know, to the servers, and having them feel secure that these customizations weren't going to affect the farm. So we wanted to make it possible for these solutions to be really kind of self-regulating and self-administrating and do so in a way where, you know, bad solutions just get turned off and they don't have the opportunity to affect, you know, the front-end server, to affect the deployment or the farm. And when we talk about SharePoint Online, you know, have these solutions get turned off so they would never be in a situation where they would affect, you know, other solutions or other site collections within a tenancy, or affect, you know, solutions running in a different tenancy. Essentially have them be, self-regulating. And we wanted to do this in a very seamless way to remove a lot of the friction that we saw, in the last version of SharePoint in the 2007 timeframe. So how did we do that? Well, we do that by providing sandbox solutions in SharePoint 2010. And since SharePoint Online is based on SharePoint 2010, we get these benefits as well as cloud developers. So when developing for sandbox solutions, you have a scoped API that you use. It's scoped to SP site below or the site collection or below, which incidentally maps to what you have access to within SharePoint Online. All the solutions run in partial trust. They're subject to a special code access policy that makes them very secure to run within this shared environment. They execute in a sandboxed execution environment, so you don't have to worry about security. You don't have to worry about things getting outside the sandbox or affecting other sandbox execution. Everything's isolated into its own sandbox that it plays in. So there's a user code service, spuchostservice.exe, that actually spins up these worker processes that the sandbox solution runs in, the sandbox worker process, spuchworkerprocess.exe. And then there's a proxy that actually kind of filters or is the governor to make sure that when you make a call to the scoped API, it goes through the proxy, the SPUC worker process proxy, and that kind of governs whether, if the call is allowed and it is a sandboxed call, then it, executes as expected. And if it doesn't, it gets blocked to make sure that people can't do things they're not allowed to do, like run with elevated privileges or access, something at the farm level, things that you can do in the full Microsoft SharePoint API that you can't do in the sandbox. Next, deployment. Deployment is just a matter of uploading a WSP file generated by Visual Studio to the solution gallery, and this can be done by anyone that has site collection admin privileges. So, that can either be someone, on the development team or, the business owner, the end user themselves. As long as they can access the solution gallery, they're just uploading a file up into SharePoint, in the case of SharePoint Online, up into the cloud, and then starting to turn on features and using the end result solution. Now, administration, as we'll see here in the course of this video, solutions consume points. They consume resources. These resources get equated to points. And when a solution gets to the point where it's using more points than expected for a normal executing solution or a well-performing solution, the solution will actually be disabled before it affects the site collection or other solutions or even other tenancies when you're running in a multi-tenant cloud like we are in SharePoint Online. And this gives you that self-regulating ability that administrators are really looking for when they're handing over the deployment of solutions to what to them is the end user, the site collection administrator. Now, sandbox solutions are required for doing development in SharePoint Online Shared. They're the primary choice for SharePoint Online Dedicated. If you're thinking about doing development for SharePoint Online, you really need to learn the ins and outs of sandbox solutions because it is the development paradigm for multi-tenant cloud solutions that run in SharePoint. Okay, so let's talk about development. So the first thing that you need to know about sandbox solutions is the API is scoped. It's actually a subset of Microsoft.SharePoint. And it essentially what we've done is we've scoped the API to really map to the capabilities and the execution environment for SharePoint Online. So it's the API is scoped to SP site or the site collection and below. And you can do a lot of work, either declaratively or via code, just like you would in SharePoint 2010 running on-premise. You can create site columns and content types, create list definitions or instances, create web parts, create declarative workflows, custom actions for those workflows, workflow activities, event receivers, deploy modules and files to deploy things like Silverlight applications or branding artifacts and so on. And the only thing that you really need to keep in mind when you're talking about SharePoint Online compared to SharePoint running on-prem is that the feature set is different. So, while the Microsoft.SharePoint subset DLL or subset API is the same, for the sandbox running on-prem versus in the cloud, you know, some of the features are different. You just need to check the service descriptions to make sure the features you're going to be leveraging in the solution are supported if you're going to create a solution that you intend to run in SharePoint Online. So API scope limitations, let's talk about some of the things that are radically different if you're used to creating full trust solutions. The first is partial trust. So you can't create a web application scoped feature or a farm scope feature. You know, in SharePoint Online, your entry point into SharePoint is at the site collection and below. So you really don't have access to, you know, the farm or the web application scoped features within the API. You also don't have access to the file system. So you'll see when you create, you know, a sandbox solution, you can't create visual web parts. You can't create anything that, you know, deploys files to the file servers. You can't do, you know, code-based workflows that, again, require code being deployed to the servers. And you can't make external web service calls. So you can't make a HTTP, you know, call outside of the sandbox. BCS isn't supported, so that really limits what you can do, you know, out of the box as far as accessing external web services. As we'll see in future videos, you can make external web services calls from Silverlight and JavaScript, so that's a great way to, you know, pull in some external web services or pull in some external data. But out of the box, not enabled. Now, Visual Studio 2010, the same tools that you use on-prem, are the tools that you use when you're developing sandbox solutions for the cloud. In fact, it's the same development tools, the same API, the same languages, the same skills, really. And when you use Visual Studio 2010, you know, you get new project support. So when you create a new project, it'll ask you, is this a sandbox solution or not? And that'll determine whether it turns on IntelliSense. So, you know, if you try and, you know, type in some code that's not scoped to the sandbox, it'll actually, you know, not show you IntelliSense, giving you that kind of that first clue that, hey, this isn't something I can do in a sandbox solution. It'll do packaging, so it'll create the WSP file for you when you right-click on a solution, say package. It'll also do F5 debugging against a local instance of SharePoint and give you that exception if you try and do something that, you know, for some reason isn't supported in the sandbox. The SharePoint Power Tools, if you add the Visual Studio 2010 SharePoint Power Tools to your dev environment, and I strongly recommend this, you also get compilation support. So if you copy and paste some code from like an MSDN article or something like that, it'll actually catch anything that's not in the scoped API at compile time rather than doing that at runtime, which is a huge productivity or time saver. It also provides you a visual web part, sandboxed visual web part project item that you can use to create visual web parts, and it does the work, you know, behind the scenes to turn this into a regular web part so it can be deployed as part of a sandbox solution. So the Visual Studio SharePoint Power Tools are a fantastic addition to your development environment. So once you've developed or you've got your developer tools all set up, what is the development process? How do I, you know, create these solutions for sandbox solutions for SharePoint Online? Well, it's very similar to what you do today on-prem, where you've got a local instance of, you know, SharePoint, either on your machine or running in a VM. You're doing your work in Visual Studio 2010. You're doing your F5 debugging. You get to the point where, you know, you're comfortable with the code that you have, does what it's supposed to do. And then you want to do some confirmation testing. Well, you know, normally you'd go to a different on-prem farm that mimics your production environment, maybe has, you know, some scripts that copies data, you know, lists, libraries, and so on between production and that confirmation or staging area. Well, the same thing here, except for that staging area is actually going to be up in SharePoint Online. You'll create a site collection that's, you know, limited to just the development team, and they'll copy up those WSPs into the solution gallery and do their confirmation testing. And once, you know, the dev team or QA is comfortable that that's the right solution, then you're ready to deploy it. And that's just a matter of taking the WSP in and uploading it to the solution gallery. And again, anybody that has site collection administration permissions can do that. You know, someone within your team can do it. You can give it as an end solution to the business if they're the site collection administrators and so on. So let's talk about deployment for a second. So sandbox solution deployment is the same on-prem as it is in the cloud. You have access to the solution gallery. It's one of the galleries that's up in site settings, where you can just go in and upload the WSP file for your solution, activate the solution, which deploys the files if there were some branding artifacts and stuff like that, registers event receivers. Site collection features are automatically activated, and then any site features need to be activated manually by someone with permissions to do so. When you deactivate the solution, that essentially disables all the capabilities within the solution. When you delete it, it removes the solution itself. And if you want to upgrade the solution, you can just create a new WSP file that has the same solution ID but a different name. And when you upload the solution and activate it, actually the features are compared and new features are themselves activated, giving you a really good upgrade scenario or upgrade process for your sandboxed solution. So let's talk about execution. We've got, we've done our development, we've got a WSP we're happy with. What does it actually look like when it executes up in the cloud in sandbox solutions? Well, I have my front-end server, which is my IIS box, WPW3.exe. I make a request against that. It goes against the execution manager and then and goes through the back end. Well, if I make a subset model request or a request that's allowed by the API, like I want to access, a list item through SPList, execution goes through the execution manager, through the back end. Since it's a sandbox solution, the user code service, so SPUC hostservice.exe, spins up a new sandbox worker process, so SPUC workerprocess.exe. And it takes that code and executes it according to the settings within web.config and the CAS policies. Since it's a SP object model subset, that code actually executes just fine and gets passed on to the full model requests, the full model API to actually execute the request, like reading that list. If I were to make, let's say, a full model request, like I, typed in some code, like to, let's say, spsecurity.run with elevated privileges, what'll happen is it'll go through the same process, but when it gets to the sandbox worker process and tries to execute that full model request, like running with elevated privileges, that request will get blocked, and it'll throw an exception. So it's best, again, to use those power tools to catch all of the compile time errors to make sure that, you're not trying to make a request that's not allowed within sandboxed execution. And again, it'll throw an exception for you. So let's go through our first demo of sandbox solutions. What we're going to do here is we're going to create a visual web part and use the SharePoint power tools just so you can get an idea of what the development experience is like, how compilation support helps you, and how you can create a visual web part just by using these SharePoint power tools. In this video, we're going to be looking at building sandbox solutions for SharePoint Online. In particular, we'll look at the development, debugging, and deployment experience for creating solutions that will run up in the cloud. So you can see I have Internet Explorer open, and I've got two tabs here. Going against two different instances of SharePoint. The first is a local instance of SharePoint running on my local machine. I'm going to be using this instance of SharePoint to do all of my development and F5 debugging, since that's what's supported in Visual Studio 2010. When I'm done and I have the solution that I'd like, the final solution, I'll actually upload that into SharePoint Online within this site collection and do all of my verification just to show you how you actually deploy to SharePoint Online and show you the execution within SharePoint Online. Okay? So let's go into Visual Studio 2010 and create our solution. So I have Visual Studio 2010 installed, same Visual Studio 2010 that you use to build solutions on-premise with SharePoint 2010, same language, same API, SDKs, and so on. So great development experience if you're a SharePoint developer today. So I'll create a new empty SharePoint project. I'll call it Sandbox Visual Web Part. I'll click OK here. And then I'm presented with the SharePoint customization wizard, which asks me, what local site do you want to use for debugging? So I'm going to use that local instance of SharePoint, the one that's .contoso.com, right? And I'm going to use a local site called Labo2. And it also asks me, you know, what is the trust level for this SharePoint solution? I want to create a sandbox solution, so I'll select deploy a sandbox solution. And when I click finish, it'll go ahead and create my solution. If you look at the properties here for the solution, you can see that the sandbox solution property is set to true. The site URL is set to that site URL that I'll use whenever I F5 debug. And that'll turn on the IntelliSense. And since I have the Visual Studio 2010 power tools for SharePoint 2010, that'll actually also provide me compilation support as well as some new project items. So let's go ahead and create a visual web part here. Now, the visual web part project item is actually one of the project items that's not supported in the sandbox, since it requires that you deploy an ASCX file to your SharePoint servers, which isn't allowed in the cloud. But since I have the power tools installed, I can use the visual web part sandboxed in order to create that web part. And you want to go through the documentation to make sure you understand which project items are supported in the sandbox versus which are not, just so you make sure that you're building a solution that's going to be sandbox compatible. And I'll click Add, and I'm provided the editor for the markup, as well as a designer. Let's go ahead and go into split mode here. And then rather than, you know, watching me type in a whole bunch of markup, I'll just drag that off the toolbox. And then here's my very simple web part. What I'm going to do is I'm going to populate this dropdown with the names of all the lists that are in the site. And when you click on this populate grid button, it's going to pull the list items out of the site and populate this grid with the list item title and then the created by value. Okay, so I'll right click and say view code. And let's put in some namespaces here because we're going to be using link to SharePoint. So I'll add system.link and system.collections.generic. And then on the page load, I want to populate that dropdown with the name of all my lists. So if the page isn't a postback, I'm just going to go through and say spweb to give me an access to the current web, and say spcontext.current.web. I'll create a var named list names and use link here to say from splist list and web.lists, where list.baseTemplate is not equal to document library, so I'll just get just the lists. And I'll select list.title. Okay? And I'm going to bind that to my dropdown DDL lists through .datasource and .databind. Okay? Once I have that, I want to run a little code behind this populate grid button. So let me double click on that and add an event delegate to it. And then here, I'm just going to be doing, you know, some standard SharePoint development where I'm going to create a new instance of SPList called SourceList, and I'll get that again from spcontext.current.web.lists, and I'll call tryGetList and pass in whatever the selected list is. Pardon me. That selected value, DDL list selected value. And then I'm just going to create a quick query based on, you know, the CAML code of field ref name equals title and field ref name equals author. Okay, and then I'm going to set the data source equal to the results of calling get items as a data table, and then data bind that. And again, that's going to data bind those items to the grid. Okay, so everything went well as far as my development is concerned. You know, if I tried to, you know, type something in like spsecurity.runwithelevatedprivileges, you can see here that IntelliSense is blocking me, or IntelliSense is blocked because that's not something that's supported within the sandbox scoped API. You know, if I tried to just, you know, copy and paste the code or drag and drop of it off of, you know, someplace else, like out of an MSDN article or, you know, something else, again, it's blocked since I have the power tools at the compilation level. So you can see here that I'm getting a compile time error. The name SP Security does not exist within the current context. Again, Visual Studio just protecting me from trying to do something that's not allowed in the sandbox. So I don't get all the way to having it, you know, deployed and getting an exception before I figure out what I did wrong. Now, in the Visual Web part, the same applies for controls. If I wanted to go up to the SharePoint controls and drag a date time control in here, you know, that control actually requiring that I push an ASCX file out to my SharePoint server, which is not allowed in the cloud. You can see here if I compile, I get a compile time error again for date time control. Does not exist within the namespace Microsoft.SharePoint.WebControls. Okay? So let's go ahead and get rid of that. Compile. You can see that our build succeeded. And now I'm ready to F5. And I'm going to F5 debug this just to make sure that my solution does what I think it should. So it opens up a new instance of IE to the Lab02 site that I'm using here. I'll go ahead and click Edit, Insert, Web Part. Let's go over to the Custom tab. There's my Visual Web Part 1. Click Add. Okay, let's go ahead and save the page. Okay, and there's a list of all the different lists, or a drop-down populated with all the different lists that are within my site. And if I select Announcements and click Populate Grid, you can see here it's pulled back the title and the author, just of the standard list item you get within the Announcements list when you create a new site. Just to kind of prove the concept, right, that I'm doing, I've got a F5 experience with the sandbox against that local site. Okay. So how do I actually deploy this out to SharePoint Online? Well, I just right-click and say Package. And once I have that package, I'm going to go back into IE. Again, this is my on-premise site, the .contoso.com site. The .sharepoint.com site is actually my SharePoint Online instance. So I'm going to deploy that just by going over to Site Settings, going to the Solution Gallery, clicking Solutions, and saying Upload Solution. This is the same solution gallery that you'll see on-prem, and I could have deployed this package on-prem as well if I wanted to just show that experience, but I'm just going straight to SharePoint Online now. Let me go to the folder where I actually built this guy, and then bin, debug, and there's the WSP that was created for me. I'll click OK. That uploads the solution, so it's now up in the solution gallery, up in SharePoint Online in my site collection. I'll click Activate. That activates the solution. Then I can go directly to Lab02, and since it's a web part, the feature is already deployed, so I just need to go in here and again modify the page to insert the web part. Click Custom, Visual Web Part, click Add. Okay, save the page, and you can see here that it works the same way that it did on-prem. So just a quick example of the development, the debugging, and the deployment experience around sandbox solutions. So scoped API, a scoped execution environment, it's supported through Visual Studio 2010, just like it is on-prem. And if you install those power tools, you're not only going to get IntelliSense support, but you're also going to get compilation support, which is a huge productivity gain for developing these kinds of solutions. You know, F5 support against the local instance just to get the code that you want. And once you've got that code and you're ready to package it up, deploying it to SharePoint Online is just a matter of uploading the WSP and activating the features. And as you can see here, I've got this code running in the cloud with SharePoint Online.